Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with sound biblical teaching and spiritual discernment, but to help you become a winsome and fruitful witness of Jesus Christ. Because the credibility of our faith hinges on the answers we provide to life's biggest questions, there's often not a second chance to get those answers right. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go to your calls in just a moment. I want to begin the broadcast today, however, by giving you a quote by G.K. Chesterton, who once said that the true soldier fights not because he hates that which is in front of him, but rather because he loves that which is behind him. In other words, the very ones that he is defending. And I'm not sure that I've ever heard a better description of the spirit of the Christian Research Institute's ministry partners than those words from Chesterton. In the spirit of Jesus Christ, they do not see secularists, they don't view atheists as the enemy, but rather they see them as prisoners of war. And thus they are standing valiantly for life and truth, not because they hate those who are against them, but rather because, like the true soldier, they once again are committed to a generation that will follow in their train. If you are serious about making your mark in today's raging battle for truth, and let me say, there is no hyperbole here whatsoever when I say raging battle for truth. Don't be content with simply being a weekend warrior. Consider enlisting as a member of the Bible Answer Man support team and know that your stand for truth will be felt by multitudes 24/7. In other words, every day around the clock. To join the Bible Answer Man support team, you can call 888-7000 and the letter CRI right now. And you'll be glad you did, because generations that are to follow will thank you, if not verbally in this life, most certainly in the life to come. I mean, think about the kinds of things that are happening. We've been talking about them on the broadcast, the Osteenification of American Christianity, nothing less. The new thought metaphysics, an occult paradigm being communicated under the guise of Christianity. We talked about the redefinition of marriage and what that portends for human civilization. We've taught in recent weeks about the battle for the Bible. And this is a battle indeed. Many today are saying that the Bible is misogynistic, that the biblical writers hated women, and not only so, they oppressed women. That Old Testament ethics are just plain primitive and barbaric, not to mention those very strange food and clothing laws. You've heard so many atheists with their mass pulpits talk about God as a bully, a murderer, an oppressor. As Bill Maher put it, God is a psychopath. He's psychotic. He's a mass murderer. There's so much more that could be said, but I'll simply leave it at that. When you stand for truth, you'll be making a difference not only for time, but for eternity. When we invite people to join the Bible Answer Man support team, many of you are doing that already. I mean, what an opportunity to make a difference while there is yet time. What an opportunity to do what many are doing for a lie, instead doing it for the truth. As I've said many times, are you willing to do for the truth what cults and the culture is willing to do for a lie? That is a poignant question. Again, you can join the Bible Answer Man support team by simply giving us a call at 888-7000 and the letter CRI, or you can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or you can join in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. That's a wonderful way to do it. And when you join the Bible Answer Man support team, I'd be pleased to send you a personalized copy of one of my books as my way of saying thank you. I'd be happy to personalize it to you, a family member, or a friend. Again, we'll go right to the phone calls. First up is LaWayne in Lebanon, Missouri. Hi, LaWayne.
Hi, Hank. How are you doing today?
Doing well, thank you.
Hey, we've studied in our young adult Wednesday night class in Hebrews chapter 7, the first three verses, and it talks about Melchizedek.
Melchizedek, yes.
You know, in verse 3, it talks about him being without father, without mother, without descent, neither having beginning or of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. We just, it just really confused us on us studying this on exactly who he was. Can you kind of give us some clarification on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a Christophany, and it's clearly a Christophany on a lot of accounts. I've actually written about this in my book, Has God Spoken, on the basis of what we have discovered to augment our thinking through discoveries in the Dead Sea Scrolls, which has made it very clear. But I think that the biblical text is enough to make clear that in contrast to men who die, Melchizedek is declared to be the living. So Melchizedek is a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ. Melchizedek is very clearly Jesus Christ. And of course, in the Old Testament, we not only have theophanies, appearances of God, but appearances of Jesus Christ as the angel of Yahweh, and in this case, prefigured as Melchizedek. And of course, there's a reason for this. From an earthly perspective, Abraham was the king of Salem, or Jerusalem, which was the very region where God gave him victory in the Battle of the Kings. And it was the very realm in which God called him to establish a righteous nation and a kingdom of priests. And you also have a perspective from heaven. John does this, by the way, in Revelation. You have a perspective from what's going on earth, and then you have a perspective in terms of what's going on in eternity or what's going on in heaven. But you have the same thing here. From the perspective of heaven, it's Melchizedek who is the king of Salem and remains a priest forever. And therefore, Melchizedek appears as a human king and priest, and yet he is without beginning of days or end of life, as the biblical text tells us, a priest who offers bread and wine from the Jerusalem that is above, that is free, that, as Paul says in Galatians chapter 4, is our mother. So Scripture not only designates Melchizedek king of righteousness and king of peace, sound like Jesus, but he overtly tells us that he is without mother or father, that he is without genealogy, that he is without beginning of days or end of life, and that like the Son of God, he remains a priest forever. So I think this is quite clearly a Christophany.
Okay. So, yeah, we was really thinking that that's what he was, an earthly figure of Jesus Christ, is kind of what we was basing our lines on, and we just needed some clarification on that. And I suppose that's why he later come back with having to have Mary and Joseph, so he would actually be an earthly person then.
But I'm saying he's not an earthly person.
Okay.
I'm saying that this is a precarnate appearance of Jesus Christ. And though Melchizedek did not trace his descent from Levi, yet we're told that he collected a tenth from Abraham and then blessed him who had had the promises. And without doubt, the text tells us that the lesser person is blessed by the greater person. In the one case, the tenth is collected by men who die, as with the Levitical priesthood, but in the other case, by him who is declared to be the living. In other words, as I mentioned earlier, in contrast to mere mortals who die, Melchizedek is declared to be the living. So this is a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ. And I lay this out systematically, as I said in my book, Has God Spoken?
Okay. I might have to get a hold of that book and do some reading on it then. So anyway, I appreciate what you had to say, Hank, and it does shine a little light on the subject. So anyway, I appreciate your answer, and God bless you, man.
You got it. Thank you so much, Luane. We'll be right back with more.
Being asleep at the wheel is dangerous. In fact, it can be downright deadly. That should be a wake-up call to Christians who are dangerously asleep at the wheel when it comes to wokeism. It's a deadly ideology that permits no discussion or debate. Simply obey or else. Make no mistake, people who are tolerant of such madness and incivility aren't being gracious. They are being dangerously and perhaps fatally naive. So grave are the threats of wokeism to civilization as we have known it that we have dedicated an entire special edition of the Christian Research Journal to analyzing this now rampant social and mental disease. To receive your copy of the special woke edition of the Christian Research Journal, visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.
If you thought the pandemic was scary, it may actually pale in comparison to today's pandementia. We're talking about wokeism and its growing legions of followers who have defiantly and dangerously declared their independence from reality. That's right. For those infected by the woke virus, anytime their ideology encounters reality, ideology wins. To help halt the advance of this deadly social and mental disease, you'll want a copy of the upcoming special edition of the Christian Research Journal. In it, you'll feast on penetrating analyses and criticisms of one of the most dangerous ideologies in modern history, all written to help you grasp just how deranged this tyrannical movement actually is. To receive your copy, visit equip.org, that's equip.org, or call 888-7000-CRI, that's 888-7000-CRI.
Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.
Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Paula. She's listening in Fort Walton, Florida, on the web. Hi, Paula.
Hi, Hank. I just was wanting to know. I lived the lesbian lifestyle for about 30-some-odd years, and my father was an alcoholic, and he abused my mom quite often, but... In the meantime, I was never brought in the church or anything and didn't really know anything. And I guess about 6 years ago, I just pretty much hated the lifestyle I was living and always thought I was born gay and come to know Jesus and accepted him as my Lord and Savior. And I know I'm saved, and I just have, not doubt sometimes, but with everything that's going on in our society since I've lived this lifestyle, how do I guess, communicate with friends that are still in that lifestyle, and do I just cut them off totally? Not that I would be tempted to go back to that lifestyle, because all I want to do is serve the Lord with it. Everything that I have, because I should have been dead a long time ago, because I did sleep with men and I had an abortion, because just I really made bad choices. And I know I'm rambling on, but I just want to know how I can help other people get out of that lifestyle, because it is a choice.
Yeah. Well, first of all, what a wonderful testimony on your part that you are a follower of Jesus Christ and a participant of the kingdom. And as you get to know Jesus ever more nearly and dearly, and Paula, that means that you first grow so that you can help others, but you have to grow yourself. You have to drink deeply from the river of the water of life so that you can be sustained, and then you can be a testimony, not just in what you say, but in what people see. You know, Joe Dallas, who also lived the gay lifestyle, has been on our broadcast many times, and he has done that very thing. And I now look at him as a hero of the faith, and I learn a lot from him, from the wisdom that he exudes, from his study, from what he has gone through. And I think the same thing can be true for you, that, you know, God can use the years that the locusts have eaten for his glory and for the extension of his kingdom. So grow. Make sure that you partake of the means of grace that are available to you, because, Paula, you can't go the journey alone. You have to go the journey with people that love you precisely as you are and recognize that even though you are now a follower of Jesus Christ, you are still a sinner, just like the gay friends that you alluded to are sinners. So it's not as though now you have achieved something that they have not. No, it is that you are covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and you say, I want to follow him because I know following him is best for me, best for civilization, and ultimately makes me a participant in bringing the kingdom of life to fruition as opposed to augmenting the kingdom of darkness. So I think that the real issue becomes simply building yourself up in the faith and recognizing that your job is not to change anybody's mind. It isn't to grab your gay friends by the lapels, as it were, and say, you know, come to Jesus. The real issue is to prepare yourself, to have answers, to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lives within you, and to be able to give that answer with gentleness and with respect, certainly not with an attitude of haughtiness in any way. And I certainly don't sense that in you in any sense. But see the difference. The difference is not that you have to change anybody's heart. The difference is that you must be prepared. And if you are prepared, God will give you the opportunity to do the very thing that you want to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm just having a problem of, like, getting into a church, because I just lived that lifestyle for so long, and all of my friends are mainly, you know, gays. And when you try to meet people and they're like, okay, you're 50, you don't have any kids, and you've never been married, it's automatic, like, okay, well, we know what you probably used to be. And so it's not like I'm shunned, but it's... it's really hard to break in without people putting a stigma on you. And I'm not, the church is wonderful, you know, I just, it's really hard sometimes, and it's, I just want to say that if there's other young people thinking about that lifestyle, it's, you know, not, it's really not something that you want for your child or for yourself, because I am now reaping what I sowed, so to speak, and I'm alone at 50 and no children, and so, and just really pray to God that He would give you strength to, you know, walk the right path and stay on that path.
But Paula, the best is yet to come. I mean, you've embarked on a journey, and it's, you know, let me just share with you. I came to faith in Christ when I was 29 years of age. Uh-huh. I know there's a bit of a difference there, but I remember agonizing for so many years. I would agonize, if only I had committed my life to Christ earlier, if only I hadn't gone down the wrong path, what a useful tool I could be in the hands of the Holy Spirit. And I would beat myself up. And yet, when I look back now, I think, wow, God has used all those experiences during my wayward years for His glory and for the extension of His kingdom. And Paula, God will do the same for you. And you know, you can have a leavening effect on the church itself, because you've rightly, without any bitterness, described the state of the church. Oftentimes people do shun you. Oftentimes people do make assessments of you. That is the human condition. But within an imperfect church, you have a very vital role to play. The vital role to play is a communication that God takes broken pieces, and He uses those people and pieces for His glory. And, you know, this is what you need to get a hold of. You know what would really change your life is to take a passage like Romans chapter 12 and just memorize it. Just go over it and over it and over it until it becomes part of the warp and woof of who you are. And then when you get done with that, and I'm not saying memorize it all at once, set a year goal. And just take a verse at a time and just get it in your head. And then go to the Old Testament, to the book of Psalms, and memorize Psalm 139. And if you can't memorize it, just read it over and over again. And you will recognize that God is with you every step of the way, and He has a plan and a purpose for you. So you weren't called to be a convert. You're called to be a disciple, not only a disciple, but a reproducing disciple maker. And that's the very passion you have to reach out to your friends. Because you know
it's what really lonely sometimes.
Yes.
I have the Lord, and that's all that matters. So I wouldn't, you know, trade or change anything. I just feel like I owe Him and so much. And well, I owe Him my life. So
bless you, Paula, and do believe that the best is yet to come.
Okay. Thank you so much. Yeah. And God bless you and your ministry.
Thanks, Paula. God bless you as well. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Jesse in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Jesse.
Oh, hello, Hank. It's great to hear from you. I've been hearing in the past few days about, you know, what you guys have been talking about with homosexuality and being sinful, and I agree with that, and, you know, I know what the Bible says on it, and I guess the part that I've been having a problem with it is just when I try to look outside the Bible for a reason to argue against it, it's very hard for me to find a logical reason. You know, I hear a lot of the common arguments, like say, well, you know, it's the biological argument just because it's not, you know, two men or two women aren't biologically compatible, and that's a sign that points toward it, you know, being unnatural, or just, you know, I guess the problem I have with that is that couldn't that just deviate into being what you call the naturalistic fallacy, where just because the way things are the way they are, that doesn't mean how they should be?
Well, I don't think so. I mean, in that regard, I think that homosexuality does require a person to contradict their own biology. And it does suppose that God is playing some kind of a cruel joke on someone by creating their mind and emotions for attraction to the same sex, and yet creating their bodies in direct opposition to that attraction. So I do think that there are logical, natural things that we could look at. But look, I think that there are so many things that you can look at outside of the Bible that I have elaborated on the broadcast. The social sciences, for example, demonstrate that children are best served by marriage defined as a father and a mother. That has nothing whatsoever to do with the biblical edict, but it supports the biblical precepts. So the sociological metrics are very clear in this regard. But look, I mean, at the end of the day, it is important for us to set our sights not by shooting stars, but rather set our sights by the North Star. Public opinion is always shifting, and it's determined by whoever has the biggest platform. And right now, there is a narrative that everybody is following, because if you don't follow that narrative, then you're going to be in trouble. You're going to have to go and have a session in a re-education camp. But ultimately, we have to determine whether truth is determined by the shifting sands of public opinion or whether there is a North Star. And the Bible declares there is a North Star, that He knit us together in our mother's womb, and if we do it His way, we're going to be infinitely better off than if we do not. Out of time for today's edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you'd like more information about the Christian Research Institute or to order resources, just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or visit equip.org, where you can listen live or download archived broadcasts. Again, that's equip.org. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.